I'm Mark Purcell, and this is the Book Club at 91.7. Thanks for tuning in. On the Saturday morning, a reminder of the sage advice of mothers. Anne Emig will be along later to discuss the collection of essays she's edited titled Listen to Your Mother, What They Said Then and What We're Saying Now. In about 20 minutes, I'll talk with Alicia Gibson, owner of Heterotopia, a bookstore of discovery in East Walnut Hills on Woodburn Avenue. She'll talk about her store, her love of books, and share what she's reading. It's the first of what I hope will be a series of interviews with local booksellers. Today is the first annual Independent Bookstore Day across the U.S. You might want to check out your favorite bookstore today because there's lots of fun planned in many places. Up first, WVXU's Kelly Blewett talks with Rachel Held Evans about her new book, Searching for Sunday, which explores what it really means to be part of a church.
Rachel Held Evans is an award-winning writer and author of the New York Times bestseller, A Year of Biblical Womanhood and Faith Unraveled, and she lives in Dayton, Tennessee. Welcome, Rachel.
Thank you so much for having me. It's just a pleasure to be here.
Now, this book, which is called Searching for Sunday, is a little bit different than some of the books you've done in the past. You've spent a lot of times in your past books sort of analyzing evangelical culture, but here you're really telling a little bit of your own story. Would you maybe speak to that a bit?
Yeah. This is a book that explores the purpose and meaning of church, which is a huge and scary topic for me because, and for a lot of people, because church is a very personal and often fraught and frustrating experience for people, and it was for me. And so, but I knew, having talked with so many of my readers about the questions they were struggling with and the questions they were asking, I knew that people wanted to talk about church and try and figure out what church meant for them and what church means in our culture. So it was a big, scary topic that I was a little bit afraid to tackle, given my own experience with it. But it just seemed so important to my readers and to me. And so the book just kind of, it explores my own story and shares the stories of other people through the imagery of seven sacraments. That, when I came up with the idea to arrange it around the sacraments, that kind of gave the book some direction, which I felt like I desperately needed with such a huge topic. So I thought, I don't know if I can say or tell exactly what it means to be a Christian and to be part of the church, but I can talk about what my baptism meant to me and what baptism means to the church. I can talk about what communion has meant to me and what communion means for the church, and anointing the sick and confirmation and confession. So that's what the book is about and how I tried to arrange this complicated topic.
Now, just for some of our listeners who might not know, and even for myself, I go to church, but I don't really resonate with the word sacrament. So what is that, and how did sacraments draw you back to the church?
Yeah, sacrament is just what it means. It refers to an outward sign of inward grace, is how we like to say it. And so people, most churches recognize baptism and communion as rituals that are sacramental in nature. It's something we do together as Christians that remind us of Christ. And so even in churches that wouldn't use the word sacrament to describe what they're doing, you see in just about every healthy church community people sharing meals together or practicing the Eucharist, which is communion. You see people telling one another the truth and confessing their sins, which is confession. You see people walking with one another through difficult times, which is essentially the meaning behind anointing the sick. It's just gathering together as a community and walking with someone through suffering. So even in churches that wouldn't use the word sacrament, we see people practicing these outward signs of inward grace. And so for me, the reason the sacraments have been so powerful in my life is I'd sort of reduced my faith to just basically a set of propositions to which I sort of made this intellectual assent. You know, the sacraments are very tangible and tactile and incarnational. So, and they're things that we have to do together. You can't very well baptize yourself, right? And it's, communion loses a lot of its flavor when it's by yourself. it reminds me that faith and Christianity is something we're meant to do together in community.
That's just a really beautiful synopsis of a lot of what is your new book, Searching for Sunday. And again, we're here with Rachel Held Evans, is really about, you know, part of Searching for Sunday is really your own search for Sunday, your own search for what you're going to do on Sundays, and also searching for a church. So there's a lot that's in here that is your own story of, you know, changing from a teenager who really thought that she knew all the answers to someone who wished that she could leave her doubt at the door whenever she came to church and struggled a lot with, as you put it, the doubt would sit next to you and offer a sort of running commentary on church. And so for a certain time in your life, Rachel, those Sunday mornings were really difficult, but on Sunday nights you would have friends over and you almost regarded that as a really holy time, a time that you did church again. And it worked really well. You know, it was that meal outside of the walls of the church as an institution.
Yeah, I grew up in a great church, and the people there loved me unconditionally and were so kind and so supportive. But I often remember sitting there in church on Sunday morning with the people I knew and loved, you know, who knew me best in the world. And yet it was the loneliest hour of the week for me because I felt like I must be the only one sitting here who wonders sometimes if any of this is true, who struggles sometimes with what the pastor's saying about, you know, women or sexuality or science or whatever it was. So it could be very isolating and very lonely. And I know a lot of people are in that place now where they go to church, but they feel lonely there because they're not sure they believe any of this. So I was really struggling with that. And I still, to this day, sometimes struggle with that. And sometimes just choose to stay home on Sundays. But yeah, there was a time when it was pretty cool because at that same time when I was struggling so much, we also had a very close-knit group of friends who were part of the church who would come over on Sunday nights and we would share meals and play games and do poker and watch movies and do a Bible study. And it was that sort of became church for me because at least with those few people, I could kind of be honest about what I was experiencing and not fear judgment. And even if they didn't always see things eye to eye with me, they loved me and accepted me for who I was. So it's amazing how sometimes we experience church outside of the walls of that building with the steeple on top. Mm-hmm. And so as important as I think a local faith community is, I also realize and have experienced many times in my life just times when my experience of church happened outside the church wall.
We're here with Rachel Held Evans talking about her new book, Searching for Sunday. And Rachel, your own story is really fascinating in itself, but part of what makes it so rich, I think, is the way that you've been able to reach out and connect with others through your blog who are also questioning and thinking about spiritual issues the same way that you are. You know, you argue that contrary to popular beliefs, churches don't need hipper marketing tactics to draw millennials back. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about why you think young people are leaving the church, how your story connects to a larger audience, and what the church should do to draw young people back.
Yeah, I think it's funny because, I mean, the numbers don't lie, and the truth of the matter is people my age, millennials, and you know, sort of the bottom end of the Gen Xers, are dropping out of church at a higher rate than any generation previously. And, you know, I understand why people kind of freak out about that. That's a little disconcerting. But unfortunately, too often, the response is to try and make church more hip and make it more cool. You know, bring in a hipper worship band, put a coffee shop in the lobby, get a pastor who wears skinny jeans, you know, kind of try and make it hipper. And, you know, but that approach can actually kind of backfire because we millennials, we have been advertised to our entire lives. And as a result, we have pretty finely tuned BS meters. So we can detect when somebody's just trying to sell us something, just trying to sell us another product. And so, at least for me, church is the last place I want to go to be sold another product. You know, the last place I want to go to be entertained. It can feel so inauthentic when folks are just trying to make Christianity seem cooler. When really, what I think we ought to focus on is just keeping the church weird. You know, the church offers these sacraments, this table around which we gather, this process of anointing suffering and naming it holy, and like all that stuff that the church has been doing for 2,000 years, that's enough. That's relevant. That matters to every generation, including millennials. So, you know, I see the numbers dropping, but I don't think that the solution is to try and repackage or rebrand Christianity. Mm-hmm. I think a better approach is to simply articulate and practice these sacraments in a modern context. So maybe that means kind of doing things a little bit differently, but at the end of the day, it's about just being the church and kind of just doing what the church has always done. Efforts to kind of lacquer on a hip veneer are not going to help. And then, of course, too, I think, when polled, the millennials reflect concern that church has become too exclusive, that it's sort of like a country club and only the right people are invited, and so many people are rejected because of their sexuality or whatever it may be. And so we also have to address that. We have to practice these sacraments, not try so hard to be cool, and then open the doors for all. And not, you know, Christianity's never been for the worthy. It's for the hungry. Mm-hmm. So, you know, being a little less exclusive and a little more like a recovery group and less like a country club, I think is a good strategy for reaching millennials.
Thank you, Rachel. And, you know, I've really enjoyed following your blog over the years. And it's sort of interesting how at a time for you where you were experiencing a lot of personal doubt, the blog community really gave you a space to articulate some of those questions in community and hear the stories of others in ways that have been, I think, healthy and interesting to read for a lot of people. But actually, the blog has also been a little bit controversial. So I wonder, you know, how does being a popular blogger whose views are sometimes controversial affected your idea of what it means to be a Christian?
The blog is great because it brings together quite an unusual group of people. Like, it might be easier if everybody who left comments on the blog always agreed with me, but they don't. So it has given me some practice in being in community with, even though this is a virtual community, with people who don't agree with me. And I think that's really important to church, is being together in community, sharing the bread and the wine together, even though we might not always see eye to eye on theology or politics or culture or whatever it may be. So, yeah, the community on the blog is great and challenging and fun, and it has informed so much of what I write. But best of all, I think it has helped me learn about what it means to engage respectfully with people who disagree. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't always engage respectfully with people who disagree with me. Every now and then, I get angry on Twitter or Facebook and have to issue an apology for snapping at somebody. But for the most part, I think it's been a great education in getting along with people who don't see things exactly the way I see them. And I hope that I model respectful dialogue to my readers. That's something I'm having to practice and get better at, because it doesn't necessarily come naturally to me. I can be pretty feisty. So I've learned a ton over the past, gosh, I guess it's been 5 years since I started the blog, 6 years, seven. Oh, I don't even want to think about it. The past few years, getting to know my readers and their perspectives on things. It's such a joy.
Well, Rachel, thank you so much for joining us this morning to talk about your new book. It's been a pleasure to have you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Rachel Held Evans, the author of Searching for Sunday, Loving, Leaving, and Finding the Church. For more information, visit the website wvxu.org. For the Book Club at 91.7, I'm Kelly Blewett.